Hello and welcome to episode 111 of Gutter to Gutter podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Luke Viersma. Luke is a 21-year-old drifter from Western Australia. In this episode, we got to talk about Luke's early days starting out in go-karts at the age of 4 years old. We got to talk about his time in junior dragsters as well as RC drift cars and then finally moving into drifting. With that in mind, we learned about the car he started out in as well as his current car while learning about the complete setup of that car. We also got to learn about the comp series that he competes in and why he's decided to spend this year competing in South Australia. I had an absolute blast getting to know Luke Viersma, and I hope that you all enjoy Luke's story as much as I did, and I hope you all enjoy episode 111 of Gutter to Gutter podcast. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Gutter to Gutter podcast. I'm Static and in this episode I'm joined by Luke Viersma. Luke, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you. Hello, hello. How are you?
Good, man, good. Even after just checking it to make sure that I said your surname right, because of the suggestions that you put out there that other people have said, I almost said one of them, so...
Yeah, my last name's pretty hard to pronounce, but it's Viersma.
I don't think I've ever actually pronounced it wrong myself, but I did like to check, and then when I did check, I second-guessed myself when I was about to say it. So, yeah, that was cool. But I got there. I got it out right, so that's all good. How are you, dude?
Not too bad. Looking forward to everything coming up. It's been a very busy year, and we're hoping to just do better and improve.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So I guess we'll start off, mate, like we do with every other episode. We'll get a bit of a rundown on who you are and what you do for anyone that doesn't know.
Yep. I'm Luke Viersma. I'm a drifter from Perth, WA. I own a Nissan S13 LSA Pro car. I'm competing this year in the South Australian Drift Series and World Time Attack.
Nice, man.
I've been in the sport for roughly 5 years since I was 16. I'm 21 now. And yeah, that's a rough breakdown of me.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So 21 now, you're quite young, and you've been drifting a fair while. Like, that's a fair percentage of your life, I guess. How did you start out, I guess, at the age of 16 in drifting?
Well, so originally, my family's always been into motorsports, never anyone in drifting. I was sort of the first one to go into that avenue, but it all started with RC drifting. Remote control drifting was sort of the gateway into drifting. I really, really loved RC world, and I came from drag racing, so it was a bit different. But yeah, RC drifting really gave me the look and the experience to get into drifting, and that's how I got into it.
Yeah, awesome, man, awesome. So we'll rewind a bit, and we'll sort of get to know yourself a bit before we get right into all the drift stuff. Whereabouts did you grow up? You said you're from Perth. Did you grow up in Perth?
Yeah, I've been in Perth all my life. Been here since I was very young, and yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And what's Perth like, I guess, to grow up in?
Well, so when I was 4 years old, I was into go-karts. I started go-karts very young. That's mainly where I got my drifting, well, just car knowledge in general. I used to do motorbikes, I used to do go-karts, and I always played sports in school and everything like that too.
Awesome, man. So starting go-karts at the age of four, that's unreal. That's unreal. How long, I guess, did you drive go-karts for or race go-karts?
It was a bit difficult because back then there was age limits to going to tracks, so I was very limited to what I could do. So normally there's a video online me ripping around the driveway in a go-kart, just going back and forth, but we're pretty limited on what we could do, so I normally took it to car parks and just my backyard.
Yeah, okay. So did you get into racing at all as you got a bit older and were able to get onto tracks or not?
No, unfortunately, the minimum age was 8 at the time, so right. I was 4 years off. So I sort of eventually grew out of it and into the more drag racing scene towards yep. when I was like 8 years old. So yeah.
Well, man, that's a fair motorsport history for just yourself, starting at 4 in a go kart into dragsters at 8. Did you say?
Yeah, I started. Quite young. I think I was 10 when I first started junior dragsters. I've always been involved in the drag racing scene. My dad's a massive drag racer himself. He's been involved with it for over half his life. So I've always been in and around the scene, and I decided to get into it when I was around 10 years old in junior dragsters.
Nice. So how does something like that work? Like as a 10-year-old, I mean, obviously you've got the sort of inroads with your father who's already into it, but how does someone, I guess, coming from the outside get into sort of junior dragsters at such a young age, I guess?
It's a pretty inclusive motorsport. It is for the finer people. Like, it is a dangerous sport, especially for kids. But as long as, like, you're very forgiving and trusting of the person, you can get really into it. You just got to know the people down there. Like, everybody's very welcoming, and it's a really good scene. It's really good to be a part of. The people there are amazing, and it's just a great place to be.
Yeah, awesome, man. So I guess for those people, if anyone did want to join or were looking to sort of help their kids get into it, I guess just try and find a local club, I guess, and find an inn that way. Would that be your suggestion?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if it's still called this today, but the club we used to be a part of was WA Junior Dragsters. It might be still today. I'm not too sure, but that was the club we were a part of, and that's where we started our, I guess, history.
Yeah, cool, man. I'll double check that, and if that is what it is, I'll chuck a link in the show notes for that. That's really cool. So how long, I guess, did you race Junior Dragsters for?
So roughly I raced junior dragsters from when I was 10 to 16. I didn't race too long, but I competed in the full Australian series. I competed in all the national series. We traveled all over Australia from Alice Springs, Darwin, Adelaide, pretty much everywhere to go drag racing. And we did pretty well. We were very successful. Never got an Australian title, but I was close. But it all was very much fun.
Awesome, man. And obviously with your dad, I guess, sort of stirring the passion there, obviously your love for cars and all of that sort of stuff has come from him through that. What was that like for him, I guess? He would have been absolutely rapt, I guess, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, I guess he has always been into racing his whole entire life, so he gets to sort of live that through me now. I'm fulfilling my own dreams, but I'm also fulfilling his as well. We get to do it together as a team, and we're just having fun traveling Australia.
Nice. So before you started, did he race?
Yeah, my granddad was actually the first one over all of us when he came to Australia. He started doing late model supercars back in the days, in a very, very old time when the Holdens and stuff like that used to do sprint cars over there. And then it passed down to Dad. He's done motorbikes, go-karts, drag racing, sprint cars. And then that's passed down to me when I've done drag racing and drifting.
Nice. So did your father get to race alongside you? Like, were you both racing at the same time? Or when you started racing, he sort of stepped back and just became like almost like a crew chief or something like that for you?
Yeah, unfortunately we never got to race with each other. He stopped racing like when I was quite young. He started to become a crew chief for many people in the scene. He was helping out being a mechanic, so on for multiple races, mainly like Johnny McSweeney and the whole Hog's Breath crew. He stepped back for a while, then I started getting into it, and he started being my crew chief from there on.
Yeah, okay. That's really cool, man. And he's still is he still with you today, like all the way through to drifting as well?
Yep, he's the number one person by my side. The team normally consists of just me and him, and then some family members that sometimes support us. But yeah, awesome. It's majority all the time just me and him.
Awesome. So how did we get, from the junior dragsters into RC drift cars?
So I was doing junior dragsters at the same time. I got into RC drifting when I was probably around 14, maybe. It was just a random interest I found. I was always into RC cars, just like a Traxxas 110 buggies. I always loved playing around with them, and I just found drifting. And I got really into it. I was 2-time state champion. I competed in the Australian Nationals as well in Sydney. I got really into it, and I did very, very well. But, yeah, that just sort of progressed into real life.
Yeah, nice. So how did that progression take place, I guess?
So when I was like roughly 14, I was doing drag racing at the time, and then when I got turned 16, I went into drifting. And I guess that's just sort of a natural progression. Once you're, I think, 16 or 17, you can't do junior dragsters anymore. So this time when like sort of was an unfortunate incident happened in drag racing, so we sort of stepped aside and then we just moved into drifting. I left a little bit early just to pursue a different career, and that's sort of how it naturally happened.
That's unreal, man. So coming all the way up from 4 years old to you're 16 now, moving all the way through go-karts, dirt bikes. Dirt bikes, was it?
Yeah, motorbikes.
Junior dragsters, RC drift cars, into drifting now. That's unreal, man. I think that's every kid's dream. Well, that's definitely
my... I'm definitely very fortunate and lucky to have the parents I've had. Just growing up in this family, obviously it's had its trials and tribulations. That's every family, but... Yep. I'm definitely very lucky to be in the part where I am today.
That's very cool, man. That's very cool. So you mentioned that you got into all sorts of sports as well. What did you sort of get into?
When I was a part of school and also outside of school, I did rugby. I played for Bayswater team. I forgot what it's called as a while ago, but I played for school as well, my school Trinity, but I suffered a neck injury which stopped me from playing from sports. For quite a while, I damaged the disc in the back of my neck, so I wasn't really able to pursue much sports after that, unfortunately.
Yep. So how does that sort of thing relate into driving, I guess, now into drifting? Is that still something that sort of catches up with you a bit?
It doesn't affect me too much. I have to do a little bit of stretches and just a little bit of massaging for my neck just so it's sort of free. But I'm restricted to turning my neck like 90 degrees to the left. I can't turn it anymore. But I'm perfectly fine turning it to the right.
Yep.
But it doesn't affect me too much in terms of drifting. We don't have much field of vision in drifting with all the smoke. So you sort of just learn to drive around it.
Yeah. You sort of see what's in front of you and just a little to the side. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's really cool. I guess growing up, man, did you have a dream car at all?
That's always changed because obviously when you're a kid, you have that poster on your wall of the Lamborghini, the yellow Lamborghini that you always want to get. But obviously you go through so many different phases. The cars change every time. But I think if we were going to go down the supercar route of my favorite childhood dream cars, probably like a McLaren P1, is a very... beautiful car. I still love it to today. But if I was to think realistically, I wouldn't mind a A90 Super right now. Can't I?
That's probably a little more achievable, or is it?
Yeah, it's it's more realistic. I wouldn't say achievable. It might be, but right now it's not achievable.
Yeah. One day?
Maybe when I put all this drifting behind me, all my money's going into that now. So I haven't got time for toys on the side.
Yep. So no other sort of project cars on the side. It's just sort of drifting is taking all the funds.
Yeah. I had all my street cars. I've had two street cars, S13 and S15. We turned the S13 into a practice car at one point, then we sold that. And I had the S15, which was a very clean spec RS15. We sold that as well.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all gone into funding drifting and funding my passion.
Awesome, man. Awesome. What was your first car or the car you learned to drive in?
So funny enough, I learned how to drive in a drift car. So
wow.
The first ever real car I drove that wasn't like go-karts, wasn't like drag cars. It was an R32 sedan, four-door RB25 with 330 horsepower.
Yep.
That was the first ever car I learned how to drive and drift in.
That's wicked, man. I guess you're probably no stranger to a little bit of power and speed anyway, coming through, you know, the junior dragsters and stuff anyway, so.
Yeah, I was used to the speed, but drifting is a whole different game. Yeah. There's so much involved with it. It's definitely one-of-a-kind sport, and I don't think anyone can understand how crazy it is to be in a drift car unless you've been a passenger or you actually driven a car.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess what was your first car? The first car that you owned?
My first car was actually the S13, the Street S13. I bought that for 8.5. So this was a couple of years back. You can't really do that now, but yeah it was a S13 little turbo SR20, like pushing probably like 250 horsepower. It was a little fun thing just to get around.
For $8,500, that's unreal. There's so many people screaming at you right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a long way back. Unfortunately, these times you don't even get too much for that price anymore.
No, that's right. That's right. So have you got like a favorite memory from your time in that car?
Obviously, the late night drives was always quite fun. I won't necessarily get too deep into that, but I'm pretty sure most car enjoyers can say we've always enjoyed late night drives. But yeah, just the fun times. I used to go to TAFE. I used it to go to school. I just enjoyed it a lot. It's a great car.
Yeah, awesome. What was the first modification you did to it, if any?
It was actually a drift button. So I removed the, what's called, the stock ratchet sort of handbrake-ish, and we used to put a button on it so you can engage the handbrake and make sure it doesn't lock.
I've always wondered how those work, because I thought it was just, do you just screw it in and it actually just locks out the actual button you've got to hold to let the handbrake down?
Yeah, so it pretty much replaces that button. You can either push in or pull out. If it's pushed in, it acts like a normal handbrake. It locks in a gauge. But if you pull out, it will just hold the, I guess, ratcheting system. I'm not too sure how it works, but it just doesn't engage that. So you can just lift it up and down easy.
Yep. That's a pretty good one. That's a good mod.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So has there been a lot of cars up until now? I mean, I know you've only sort of really been driving street cars, since about 16 or onwards, so you probably haven't had a great deal. Is there a good list of cars at the moment that you've owned?
Not too much. Normally, I've had my S13, I've had my S15. Also, I've driven my dad's Nissan Navara when he had that, and I've also driven my dad's now Ford Ranger.
Yep.
Well, track. So, yeah, we haven't had too much cars. It's definitely not on my main priority list. I got my S15 for my 18th birthday for $11,500, which was a steal. We sold it recently for 40-ish grand.
Ooh.
So we definitely got a really good deal on that. And that's also helped a lot in terms of drifting.
Yeah, it doesn't go far, does it?
Yeah, it lasts a year probably.
Yeah.
So it's not a cheap sport at all. No. It's really, really expensive, but it's the passion we have and it's what we love and enjoy.
Absolutely, and it's good when you've got a family behind you too that's into it with you.
Exactly.
That's really cool. So I guess out of the cars that you have owned, what's been your favourite along the way?
I think out of pure enjoyment, it was the S13. That was a turboed, fun, really fun car to drive around, whip around. The S15 was just very stock, bone stock. It was just fun to drive, but it wasn't anything crazy. So I'll definitely say in terms of all the cars I've had, it's probably the RB25 R32.
Yep.
That was my first car really driving, and that was just what I learned the most in. And RBs are just fun to drive. They're a lot of noise and pretty fast. So, yeah.
Awesome. So what do you get up to now when you're not drifting?
I work FIFO pretty much. So I work in Kalgoorlie in the mining industry. I work in a scrapyard up there, sorting out all the metals for mines.
Awesome. I'm just putting together the conversations we've had up until now, and everything makes sense now.
And, yeah. You need a job to fund this expensive support. So I do quite a few stints up there to pay and provide for my half or my my expensive hobbies.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Music. What do you get into musically?
Oh, musically. I think my shuffle playlist on Spotify has got over 4,000 songs.
Wow.
So I'm into everything. I've got, I think, 18 playlists that range from like rap to like even like classical piano songs, even non-English songs. Like I get into everything, but if I was to go with a reliable daily playlist, it'd probably be just an old school classic playlist full of your old bands and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So drifting wise, what was it that sort of made you go, this is what I want to do? You know, like, I guess it kind of started even into the RC drifting. What was it that sort of really caught you with that?
I've tried to answer this question many times. I've never really been able to put my finger on it because I don't really know myself. I think it's just the sort of style and attraction of the sport. It's so unique and so fun to watch that you sort of just want to be a part of it. And I'm sure that's why it's grown so much. Like, it's one of the fastest growing sports in the world. It's just an amazing sport to watch, and it just is very attention grabbing. And I guess that's how it drawn it to me.
Yeah, I can see that. I spend a lot of time out at the track, and it's a lot of time there watching, not a lot of time driving, and I'm always itching to sort of get out and drive.
Yeah, it's definitely a one-of-a-kind sport, and it's amazing to be in.
Yep, awesome. So I guess what did your entry into drifting look like? You know, you sort of was it the R32 that you started in?
Yeah, so first of all, we started in the WA Drift School down here at our local track. Ken Leong, he runs an amazing school down there. He helped us out a ton getting prepared. Danny Friend, he was the person that taught me pretty much everything when it comes to drifting. Him and Ken have been amazing influences to my career and helped me get started. We did a lot with WA Drift School, practice events, like all that stuff with the R32, and they helped me progress a ton.
So do they help you out with, you know, like tips on how to set your car up and all that sort of stuff as well?
We never really had tips. Like, we had obviously had people along the way helping us out with tips, but, normally, we always do our own research in regards to car setups. We've always been, especially with this S13, sort of a leading frontier in Perth with how the cars are set up. We've helped out a lot of people in Perth with how to set up the suspension and just make their car overall better. We've helped build people's cars. But in terms of stylistic and just how to get into drifting and driving, they helped me a ton with just learning how to drift.
Yeah, awesome. How much time, I guess, like when you sort of were starting out, how much time were you able to sort of dedicate to getting out and driving?
I would say, like, in the beginning, it was definitely much easier to go out. I'd say maybe as a rough ballpark, once every 3 weeks. Sometimes it might have been shorter, sometimes it might be longer. It's really depending on if the car was broken, if we had the money, if we had the tires. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but we tried to do every event we possibly could at the time.
So there was always plenty of events on. It was more...
Yeah, Perth has always got an amazing scene with Drift West and also D1AA, also the Drift Schools. There's always an event on, like, every week or every 2 weeks. So it's definitely makes things much easier for the normal person to get involved.
That's cool. That's really cool. How often do you see, like, I guess, do you see new people coming through quite often?
Well, I haven't drifted in Perth in the last 8 months. We've been in Adelaide, as some might know. We went to Drift West, a practice event, last weekend. That's about 30, 40 cars. I probably could only name at least like 5 to 10 people there. So wow. There's a bunch of new faces, a bunch of new cars that I never even seen just in the last 8 months. So it's an amazing thing to see, especially if the sport's growing. It helps everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been doing, you've been competing in Adelaide in South Australia. How's that been?
Honestly, it's amazing. The South Australian guys, they put on an amazing show. It's definitely one of the best comps I've run to date. I love the live stream. I love just the energy there. Everybody is so welcoming and willing to give a hand. It's just a very different scene to what we have here in Perth. We've got all the cars. We've got everything here. There's some issues here in Perth, but I'm looking forward to that getting all resolved and just making a better scene over here. But honestly, the South Australian comp is definitely, I would say, one of the best comps in Australia right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what's that like logistically for yourself to sort of get you? Do you set your car up there already and you just come back and forth? Or
no, so originally our plan was to leave our car out there round one and just come back a couple of days earlier, service the car. But knowing me, I drive pretty hard and I always like to damage the car in some sort of way. So there's also some maintenance issues that we normally always will get. So we brought the car back and forth every single time so far for the first two rounds.
Yep. And how's that been sort of doing that? Do you find that's better for yourself?
It's tough. We have to drive 3 days from Perth to Adelaide. We normally get the day before, like the sort of afternoon before the comp, then get the car ready, unpack it, go to sleep, wake up next morning. You don't feel the best. After a 3 day long car drive, you just sort of, you feel lethargic and you just don't feel that good, but you have to get yourself pumped up and ready to go for the competition day. So it is a difficult experience. Being in Perth has its negatives. We're so far away from pretty much the rest of Australia. So it is tough, but I enjoy it. Me and my dad make every single minute out of the trip. We talk. It's just like a father-son bonding time, so it's good.
Yeah, that's cool. So you're driving 3 days there. You compete for the weekend and you drive 3 days back. Or do you take a bit of a break after the weekend before you drive back?
It's pretty much we get more time like driving there rather than going home.
Okay.
As soon as the event finishes, we pack up and we're leaving 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah,
it's not enjoyable, but it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, what kind of things do you do to get yourself pumped up?
Obviously, music's a big thing. Music can affect your mood massively, so music's always a massive thing. But I guess it's just getting the mindset of competition. You're in a competition setting. Everybody around you has got sort of similar mindset, so it automatically sort of gets you into that switched on mode.
Yep. Yeah, awesome. So I guess along the way, like, who's been your biggest supporter? Would you say that's your father?
Yeah, definitely says my father. He's obviously supported me through everything. He's been there every single event. But if I was not to name him, it'd definitely be my family. My nan and granddad have traveled across Australia as well to watch and support me. They're always at almost every single event I do. Also, my mum, she's a massive part of things behind the scenes with a lot of my like resumes and social media stuff. She helps me a ton with that stuff. Yeah, just like even in Perth, there's so many amazing people that support me in the things I do. Going over to Adelaide and One Time Attack, like the support from the people here in Perth is amazing, and I appreciate every single one of them's support.
That's awesome, man. So with that in mind, who are some of the drivers you look up to? Like, I guess Western Australian drivers that you sort of look up to and enjoy driving with now.
Well, so there's a lot of amazing drivers that come from Western Australia. Obviously, you've got Mitch Lana, Brendan Greaves, Adam Monk. They're the top three that come to mind. I think Luke Fink was even an original person from Perth. But, like, them three there have sort of made it in the sport of drifting. Brendan's over in America driving his BMW. Adam Monk's got a crazy Mustang. He's competed all over Australia and done amazingly. And Mitch has obviously gone over and conquered or done amazing in Europe as well. So obviously them three there are definitely people to look up to in the scene. They've got a ton of knowledge, and I hope to be in their position one day.
Awesome, man. As far as like tracks that you've been to, what's sort of available to you in Western Australia, and what have you been to around Australia?
Well, unfortunately, in Perth, we don't really have too much available to us. The main track is Barbagallo Raceway, but sometimes we get to drive at Collie Motorplex, which is like a 3-hour drive away, and also Perth Motorplex for a competition or two.
Yep.
So we don't have too much access to us, which is unfortunate. Like, I guess around Australia, there's a lot more tracks and there's more of a scene for drifting. We're not too liked over here, but we try to make the best out of the situation.
Yep. So it almost sounds like you're kind of mirroring Sydney at the moment. We're not too liked here either, so it sounds...
Yeah, we're looked at as pretty much, yeah. we're not the most liked. They think we tear up the tracks and everything like that, so yep. It's tough, but...
Yep. So I guess working in with the tracks is that obviously, you know, you're a driver, but you'd sort of, I guess, get to see a little bit on how the different promoters get to work with the tracks. Is that a difficult thing over there?
Not necessarily. Like we've always been accepted. I know quite a bit about Drift West management, not so much D1WA, but I know Drift West have a really good relationship with the people that run Barbagallo or Carco Raceway. The name's changed now. So they seem to always do a really good job with hiring out the track and just putting on events for us. I've heard some issues with D1, but overall I don't know too much about it, but I'm pretty sure they've also got a good relationship with the people that run the track.
Yeah, that's good. The relationships sort of really matter when it comes down to that sort of thing, don't they? They can make or break a sport so quickly.
100%.
Yeah, awesome. So I guess out of the tracks you've been to, which has been your favourite to drive at?
I haven't been too much in Australia. We're still starting this journey. Adelaide's sort of the first. We went to Driftmasters quite a while back for Rob Wyatt's event to do the Pro-Am for the World Time Attack slot. I think this was like 2018 or something. It's a while ago. Not too sure what the exact date, but that was our first ever out-of-state event, which was at the Bend.
Yep.
I pretty much only competed in the Bend since then. On the 17th of next month, we're leaving to go to Malala, which will be a new track for us, which will be pretty cool. I've seen pretty cool things about that track, so I'll let you know then.
Awesome. So it's the Bend at the moment.
Yeah, the Bend is an amazing complex. It's definitely crazy how much. It's a really cool complex. There's amazing everything there. There's a museum. There's now a drag racing track. There's your massive like racetrack. There's the go-kart track that we drift on. It's just a very cool, unique track.
Yeah, they're sort of trying to open it up and cater to everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a complex where everybody can come together and just have fun.
That's really cool. So what was it about, I guess, comp drifting that sort of drew you into it?
I've always been a competitive person. I've been doing competitions probably since I was the age of 10. So always with drag racing, it's always a competition. So I guess that's sort of always given me the competition mindset of, not necessarily you've got to be the best, but you always got to try your best and just give it your all. Yeah. You always want to just... I always aim to learn one new thing when I go to the track. Yeah. Always. And if I go home losing, I'm 100% fine as long as I know I gave my best.
Yeah.
That's just my mindset when it comes to things. But I love the competitions. Not many people do. I love the competition style of drifting and just how serious you got to be about it.
Yeah. So what would be the most enjoyable part of, I guess, a whole weekend for you?
It could be two things. It could be either the drive home or just enjoying it with your friends. Like, you get to meet, especially when it comes to Adelaide, you get to meet some amazing people. You get to travel with some amazing people as well. And it's just, it's a great experience all around. It's all fun.
Yep. So what was that like for you, I guess, starting out this year, starting to compete in, is it the Drifting SA events?
Yeah, Drifting SA.
Yeah. So what was it like for you sort of getting to start to compete in those events at the start of this year? Did you know anyone there already? Did you get to meet a whole bunch of new people? What was that like?
I've known a couple of people from online and Assetto Corsa, but overall, I didn't really know many people at all. Like, I knew some of the top guys, Dale Campaign, and et cetera, but... I've met Shui Bryan, who pretty much runs the series. He's an amazing guy. He's helped us out a ton. And I've just met a bunch of cool people. Brett, he owns a 350Z over there. We've always parked next to him every single event. He's a really cool guy. And just, yeah, there's amazing people that's just welcome us. Like, it's a different experience, like not being involved in anything, but people just being really super kind to you, just super caring and welcoming. It's really cool.
Awesome. And I guess what was it that made you sort of make the move and go and drive in South Australia?
There's a couple of reasons for that. It's mainly about politics at the end of the day. I was sort of getting over the politics in Western Australia. There's a couple of things that happened that sort of made me want to go elsewhere. So I took my profession elsewhere. I wanted a clean slate and just to have fun. I don't want to be involved so much. I just wanted to compete and have fun. Yeah. That's the reason why I went.
Yeah, the politics can kill anything, like, just super quick. And if all you want to do is sort of drive and have fun, it can pull that out of it so fast.
Yeah, definitely. I think me going to South Australia was a really good thing. It seems like the series in Perth is doing amazing this season. It looks like they've learned a lot of things, which is great. I'm looking forward to seeing what the next few seasons brings. But I think... just being going to South Australia doing the Drifting SA series, it's just nice not being involved with anything. You go there with a clean slate, you know nothing, you know what to do. Just go do your job, and that's pretty much it. That's all it is.
Yeah. Now, every time I speak to someone from South Australia, they hype up the South Australian drift scene so much. And I guess, would you say that that's for good reason?
Yeah, honestly, like, from my experience being there for the past two rounds and meeting a bunch of amazing people, I'd definitely, the way I'd compare it to Perth, I think the cars we have here in Perth are much better, but that's because we have a massive track. But in SA, I think the driving skill is better. Yeah, there's right. definitely a bunch of amazing, talented people like Hayden Houlihan. He's been constantly on my tail this whole entire season. But just everybody in general, there's so many crazy good drivers in South Australia. They might not have the cars, but they have crazy driving skill.
That's awesome. That's what I hear all the time. And I guess I was kind of asking that to see if it's just South Australians tooting their own horn or if it's actually legitimate, and it sounds like it's legitimate, so that's cool.
Yeah, I definitely got to give them props. They've done an amazing thing over there. They've got an amazing series. They're very fortunate and lucky to have people that are willing to put so much effort and time into it, and it's amazing to see. They might not have the best cars, but they have an amazing community that just makes it great.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I guess out of, or what series have you been a part of over the last few years?
So yeah, I've been a part of Drift West, their series, the Outlaw series. I've been part of D1WA's championship a couple of times. I've been a part of, obviously, Drifting SA, and I've done a couple one-off comps as well.
Yep. And out of all of those, what's been kind of your favourite to drive at?
They've all brought their different challenges. Like I know what I'm going to get when I'm driving AA comps. I know the drivers. I know what to expect. But I think I love the randomness of driving in South Australia. I don't know no one. I've never driven with anyone, so I'm having to drive a different style, which I enjoy because it's teaching me new things. So that's what I probably prefer the most.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're getting to drive at World Time Attack this year?
Yes.
So I guess we'll kick that off with how did that sort of come about for you?
We were meant to do World Time Attack for quite a few years now. It's always been very difficult with us, obviously with COVID at the time. We couldn't do it then because obviously it's very risky for us to send everything over there and potentially be stuck over there for a very long time.
Yep.
So at that time, it wasn't worth the risk for us. But also, it's an expensive trip.
Yeah.
It is very, very expensive. And it's very minimal running time. You get practice, just like, I think it's 6 laps of practice. Then the next day is 2 qualifying laps. Then the next day is the top 24. So it's very minimal laps, but it's obviously you're going against the best drivers in Australia and some international drivers. So it's definitely you're paying for the experience. Yeah. It's definitely an amazing thing. We could have done it a couple of times but I don't think we're ready. But I think this year we're going to be ready and going to try put our best foot forward.
That's really cool. So how long would that take you? How long is that drive? You know, if it's 3 days to South Australia, you're probably looking at 4 days, four and a bit.
Well, so there's a lot of logistics going to that. So yeah. On the 17th, we're leaving to go to round 3 at Malala, which we'll get there for the 22nd, I believe the event is. Then that the next day, we're going to drop the car off at one of the driver's house. We're going to service it, do all the maintenance, and then leave our trailer and tow car there, fly back to Perth, then 2 weeks later fly back to Adelaide, and then from Adelaide drive to Sydney, then from obviously do the event, then Sydney drive back to Perth.
Wow, that's a lot of logistics. That's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely quite difficult for us to do, but I think in the grand scheme of things, that's probably the cheapest way for us to do it.
Yep. And have you looked outside of Australia? Have you looked? I know Mitch Lana was doing a bit of the D1NZ this year. Have you looked at anything like that at all?
Obviously, I've got quite a few new Kiwi friends. I've been involved with a lot of the Kiwi pro drivers as well. I've talked to quite a few of them. Obviously, that's obviously a goal. I'd love to do DMAC one time in my life as well. That's obviously a goal of mine. But yeah, it's all comes down to how much we can ideally spend.
Yeah.
Like, even while TimeTac is pushing it for us, it's a very difficult thing to do when you're only a two-man team coming out of a remote state. So it is quite difficult. I'd love to. It's just depending on the opportunities that have come up for us.
Yep. So I guess we're going on a hypothetical. If you had an open checkbook, you had like a massive title sponsor, open checkbook to go to whichever series you want, every single series wants you, which one are you picking?
Driftmasters, 100%.
Yeah, nice.
I think FD is great for sponsorships and everything, but for me, watching Driftmasters is just another level.
Yeah.
Driftmasters is not, I guess it is a lot about the car, but just the driving level there is so crazy. Everybody there is a major threat. Yep. So I'd love to go there and just see what the level of competition is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Like, the FD is a spectacle, and it's great for exposure for the sport. Yep. But I've personally feel like the Driftmasters European Championship is the drivers are just far above and beyond.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it with Formula Drift, I think majority of it is about the car. You sort of have to have 1,000 horsepower, 315 tire, crazy built car. But with Drift Masters, you can make it more of a budget. Obviously, it still won't be as good, but it's a more of a budget setup you can do.
Yep, absolutely. So, what are some of the craziest places Drift's taken you so far? Have you got to travel around a bunch?
I haven't been too far. Sydney will probably be the craziest thing for us so far. But obviously, when it comes to drag racing, we've been majority around Australia, but we haven't really visited the East Coast too much. So I'm looking forward to going over there, seeing a bunch of friends that I talked to online, and just experience what it is to be driving in a like crazy pro competition.
Yeah. It's unreal how, like, we're all part of the same country, but somehow Western Australia is so divided from the rest of the country.
Yeah, we're very far away from. Even when I went to South Australia, nobody knew who I was.
Yeah, and right.
I'd like to say I think I'm one of the higher guys coming out of Perth, one of the more known people.
Yep.
And nobody knew of my existence in South Australia, and they were all quite surprised. So.
Yeah. That would have been pretty surreal. Like, how's your season been as far as placing?
It seemed pretty good. We won round one, yeah. And we got third round two. I made a shipping mistake in the top four, but that's just not me having experience of the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to the top four battle. The track cooled off a bunch, and it just went like ice. Yeah. So I flew off the first corner so far.
Oh, no. So coming into round one, nobody's, you know, there's obviously the people that you've spoken with and sort of deal with online a lot, but nobody else has kind of heard of you, and there you are taking the top spot on the podium.
Yeah, it's a pretty big shock. Like, a lot of people that came up to me said, we had no idea who you were. And even on the live stream, the announcers were saying, who is this kid? So it's definitely, Perth is so secluded. It's hard because we've got very minimal resources, but in all honesty, Perth could be one of the best competitions in Australia. The level of cars, the level of drivers is amazing. It's just hard to put together.
Yeah, that's such a shame.
Yeah.
Yep. Is there anywhere that you'd like Drift to take you?
Obviously, there's a bunch of events I'd love to do all around the world. It'd be nice to have like a massive sponsorship like Red Bull or something, just get on board so I can just do whatever I want. But yeah. Obviously I'd love to do like SEMA or like Grid Life or Gap Bill, some just type of fun event like that. That'd be amazing to do.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah, that'd be cool. When it comes to your competition stuff, do you have any sort of pre-comp rituals or superstitions or things that you have to do beforehand?
Not necessarily, but I always put my left boot on first. I always do left first. So I do my whole routine, everything like that goes on my left side goes on first.
So are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed. I don't know why it started, but it's just been...
It wasn't until you just said that yourself. I'm left-handed, and in the morning, every single morning when I get up and go to work, I'm always putting my right sock on first or my right boot. It's always a right to left, yeah. So I don't know. That'd be really interesting to see if that's an opposite thing from...
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a universal thing.
I don't know if that relates.
I fell into that superstition, yeah. And I don't change it for anything.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. I don't think mine's a superstition. It's just the way things work. I don't know.
It's definitely, it's what I've done from the beginning, so don't think I'm going to change it now.
That's right. If it's not broke, don't change it.
Exactly.
Awesome, then. Sim drifting. Has that been a big part of your progression as a driver?
Yes, I definitely can recommend to every single person out there, if they're new to the sport and wanting to get better fast, the sim is the way to go. Even if you are not into drifting just yet, I suggest getting a sim before you get into drifting. Sim drifting it teaches you so much about technique and skill. Like, it's improved my game so much. I was a pretty average driver. I was still growing pretty fast, but sim drifting immensely improved my chase game and just my overall skill.
Nice. So you say that it's improved your chase game. How does it help you with that? Does it help you with your proximity or?
Yeah, so I've done quite a few comps on the sim in the Assetto Corsa. It's basically all about placement of car and understanding what the lead car is going to do. I've experienced almost every single scenario in a sim of what a lead driver can do, if it's going to slow down, if it's going to speed up, if it's going to over-rotate. You can sort of watch and understand what the lead driver is going to do before it sort of already happens. So you get that sort of instinctive skill, and also with left foot braking, you learn a lot about left foot braking and just stuff like that. That is the major difference and just skills that it provides.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd never thought of the I'd never thought of the other car when I'm thinking of sim drifting. You know what I mean? Like, obviously it works on your muscle memory, and you can you can sort of anticipate a bit better what's going to happen and how the car's going to move around, but I've never actually put into the equation the other car. So that's actually really cool to hear.
It's a major thing. Like, when you're following and you're millimetres apart going at 100 plus, you've got to be really super hyper-focused on what their car is doing. You don't really want to be focused on yourself. Like, I'd say in the finals of round one, when I was going against Hayden Houlihan, unfortunately, he crashed into the wall when I was right on, and I was super, super lucky to avoid him because I saw it happening. So it's definitely a skill you want to invest in.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll save your car and the other person's as well.
Yep. Absolutely. And I had a question off the back of that, and I've lost it.
Always happens.
Oh, I hate that. It's gone. I guess sim rig wise, have you got like a fair setup?
Yeah, so my massive shout out to my sponsor, Racecraft Simulations. They provide majority of the people in Perth with their rigs. I've always had a great relationship with John, who runs it. He's always helped me out a massive. He's provided me a direct drive wheel, a full setup. It's an amazing thing, and it's helped me out a ton. He was the person that helped me get into it. He's the person that's still helping me today continue this whole sim experience. And, you know, he's done an amazing job, and I'm very thankful to him.
That's really cool. As far as the games, I don't like calling them games because they're kind of not. But what is it? Is it just a Seto for you, or?
Yeah, I only run a Seto Corsa. I would like to get iRacing one day, but I'm still just focused on drifting. So until I sort of want to expand my interests, I think I'm just going to continue playing a Seto Corsa.
Yeah, nice, mate. We'll get into a bit of a rundown of your current drift car. So that is that is an S13. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I guess give us a bit of a rundown on that, man. Like, have everything. Give us top to bottom. You know, engine. Sure. The lot.
Yeah. So it's a pretty extensive build. It's a S13. Nissan S13. It's got an LSA 6.2 liter LSA in it, so supercharged. It's around 650 horsepower to the wheels, 600 torque. It's got a G-Force GSR 4-speed dog box out of pretty much your NASCARs, etc. It's got a Winters differential from Zoo Performance. It allows us to change all the ratios in the rear. Just allows us to make any speed changes we want. We're running full GK Tech rear end, drop knuckles, everything like that. Wisehab V1 in the front is what we bought the car with, and it's worked ever since. We're running custom MCA purples. The car got weighed and everything, and it got custom made to the car when we first bought it. So yeah, that's we've had that ever since. It's been amazing shocks. For the engine management system, we run Link ECU Thunder. Massive thank you to BYE Performance, who also helped us supply the LSA engine and the full Link ECU package. They're one of our main sponsors in the past couple of years, and they've always helped us out, Justin at BYE. And I guess the brake package is just mainly a dual caliper rear setup and a 4-part front brake system. And I think that's around about it.
Yeah, awesome, man. Awesome. So how does all that go together? Is that sort of the car you wanted it to be before you kind of went down that road with it, or?
Well, it's definitely, I would like to go some different routes, but obviously this is probably the best route to go for financially wise.
Yep.
We bought this car off Justin. I'm pretty sure it's Justin from memory. He did an amazing job. Unfortunately, he had an accident before he could drive it where he damaged his back. So he couldn't drive, unfortunately. We bought it for a really good price. It was just a simple L98 with a T56. It had all the suspension and like all the chassis work done to what we have today. But it was just a great base to start on. So mainly we've changed. Like, we moved the rear end to the back. We've done a different fuel cell placement. We've got pretty much all brand new kit. Corporate Industries helped us out with the Racing Line kit, and then Big Country Labs with a massive wing. We've put an LSA in it, the dog box, and all that stuff. So I think SPF Superfab helped us out with all the chassis work and et cetera like that, but... Yeah, it's an amazing base to work off, and we just improved it.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. If there was one thing out of all of that that you'd like to change to improve that setup, what would it be?
I think now we're getting to the bigger levels. I think maybe a little more horsepower, or pretty much fully tubing the rear end. Yeah. That's probably the two biggest changes we can make right now.
Yep. Is to get more power out of that engine, is that difficult for you?
No, it's pretty easy. We can change all the pulley system. That will definitely get us quite a bit more horsepower. But if we want to go to sort of the next step, we would sort of need to start upgrading more the internals.
Yep.
We've got a ported blower, heads, manifold, all that stuff. We're running on E85. We've got a bigger fuel oil sump. But yeah, I think like mainly to sort of step that up, you sort of need to go dry sump. You need to go just bigger cams, bigger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it's really good right now. We could probably make up to 800, but then you'd sort of be pushing it.
Yep. Yeah, once you start to get inside an engine, that snowball really starts to roll, doesn't it?
Yeah, we tore it apart from as a factory crate motor from BYE. They helped us out get it before COVID hit, so it was $11,000. Wow. And we tore it apart, pretty much upgraded everything, just ported everything, just made it really strong, and then put it all back together, and that's what it's been like today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Has this particular car been through a bunch of iterations or...?
Yeah, I would break it down to three iterations. So when we first got the car, actually I would say four. So obviously when we first got the car, it was just a plain white, it was an amazing build. There's that iteration, then the design and the wing. We changed some small things around, but it was mainly the design and the wing they put in the car. Then it started moving to still the same design, but we had a cut bumper. We moved all the rear rad to the rad to the rear. We moved all the fuel cell around and all that stuff. So, and then there's sort of the fourth iteration, which is sort of the heart transplant and all that stuff from there.
Yeah, nice, man. Nice. Your number 541, where did that come from?
That came from my granddad. So wow. I'm a third generation racer, so it's been passed down the family for a very long time.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. So that's passed down from your grandfather to your father, I'm assuming, and now to you as well.
Yes, it's been through our family for a very long time. Granddad started with it in sprint car or speedway, then dad had it throughout his whole career, and now me.
That's cool. That is really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a lucky number for us.
Yep. Unreal, man. We're going to move on to some random hypothetical questions. So these are just random questions we like to have a bit of fun with. The first one, if you had a whole day to do anything you wanted, what would you do? Or just 24 hours, go nuts, and do whatever the hell you want.
I think there'd be a couple things in that list. I think like definitely drifting for a full day would be amazing. If I could just have one set of tires that never worn out, that'd be amazing. but I think mainly... mainly like family time. I'd love to just be able to chill with the family one day on a boat, just go chill to one of the islands and just relax.
That's a good one. Just chill on a boat. That's cool. With the family.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's cool. If your life was made into a movie, who would you want to play you?
Oh, God. That's actually an interesting question. I never really thought about that. The first people that come to my mind, I don't know why, is Tom Holland. I don't know why he's come to mind, but that's the first person, even though he's British. But not too sure. It's a tough question.
Tom Holland will do that. Yeah, that works fine. if you could travel anywhere, where would you go?
Oh, I'd either go to... I'll go back to some of my family's roots. So I'm a weird mix of things. So my nana from my mum's side is from Jordan, so I'd love to go visit there one day. Also, my granddad on my mum's side is Slovenian, so I'd love to go visit there. Either in the Netherlands, which is my dad's side, I'd love to actually, I'll say Netherlands. Netherlands is probably one of my favorite locations I want to go to.
Yep. That's cool. I like that. If you weren't in your current profession, what would you be doing? I guess, what would you prefer to be doing?
What would I prefer to be doing? I think I'd still be involved in the motorsport industry in some sort. Probably still be drag racing, I think.
Yep. Nice. Do you still get out to drag races now? Do you still enjoy that sort of stuff?
Not too much. We haven't been involved into it since our... We've gone to a couple events, but we definitely haven't, haven't been to a drag racing event in a very long time.
Yeah, cool. What's one thing you would do to someone to mildly inconvenience their day-to-day life?
Oh, are we talking about somebody I don't like or I like? Because that could be many different things.
Let's go with one of each.
Mildly inconvenience... I guess just whenever I'm walking in front of someone that I don't like, just close the door on them. That just mildly inconvenience them. And then if I have someone I was like, maybe just keep going up to them and tapping them on the shoulder, then just sort of dipping away. Just to sort of frustrate them a little bit.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. We have some questions from past guests.
Yep.
Coming from Guy Maxwell, what would be your favorite track to go and see or drive around?
Ooh, that's a very tough question. I've thought this to myself. There's many tracks I'd love to drift on. I'd say Riga is one of them. It's definitely probably one of the most world famous drift tracks. But I'd also love to drift some American tracks like Irwindale and Long Beach. Like some of them sort of world famous tracks would be really cool to drift on.
Yep. Sure. Coming from Jordan Bennett, best advice for someone wanting to create a car?
Ooh, it's very difficult. You've got to find what you're passionate about. This is also something we've been struggling with. I'm potentially looking at building a new chassis soon, but I haven't had the... I'm not 100% sure on what chassis you want to go with. So it is a very difficult thing, but you want to sort of look into your profession and figure out what it's for. Like if this is a street car, just go what with you love. But if it's a drift car, obviously you want to figure out what's best and just what's easiest to be able to replace parts and find parts. So I think it all comes down to your profession, but just do your research. That's the main thing.
Nice. Research.
Yep.
Very important. Coming from Jack Martin, what is your favorite sounding engine per cylinder? So... to explain this a little better, we've got a list of cylinder counts for engines. He started at 3, worked up to 12. We'll see how we can stick in there, how well we go. But it's essentially, what is your favorite sounding engine for each cylinder count? So a 3-cylinder, 4-cylinder, 5-cylinder, so on and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yep, that makes sense.
So I guess we'll start from 3 and we'll work out and see how we go. Have you got like a 3-cylinder that you can one think of off the top of your head?
Look to my right here. So from what I can see, there's plenty of sort of older cars. You've got your Subaru EF engines, your Ford EcoBoost engines. I haven't really heard too much sort of 3-cylinder engines, but I guess like the turbocharged GR Urus. The Yaris, sorry. That's got a 3-cylinder in it, I think, from Toyota G16E.
Yep.
So I'll say that.
That's a pretty wicked-sounding car.
Yeah, that rally cars, so.
Yeah, absolutely. 4-cylinder.
I think majority of people would probably go with your SRs or your KAs, but... It's an engine out of the Audi Quattro. I think that's a 4-cylinder. I forgot what it's called, but them things sound crazy on your old school like rally Quattro cars.
So if they're the older ones, I think they might actually be a 5-cylinder, and that's kind of where the question came from too, because Jack Martin loves his Audi Quattros and the 5-cylinders that are in them.
Yeah, so if that's the 5, I'll take that for my 5-cylinder one. If I was going to go 4-cylinder, probably SR.
SR, make everyone cranky.
let me read it there. I think good sounding SRs. There's quite a few people that don't do SRs that good, but I think like Brody Mayer's SR, that thing sounds quite mental.
Absolutely, that thing is unreal.
For exactly.
All right, 6-cylinder.
This is a debate.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of amazing engines out there. Obviously, the first ones that come to mind, 2JZ, RB26, you got your B58s. I think overall, like if I'm just going to base it on sound, I think RBs, you sort of have to go with that. Like even a Barra can sound pretty cool, but like, I think RBs just have the highest revving and like screaming engine you can get out of 6-cylinder.
Yeah.
I think 2J is close second though.
Awesome. I'm on the RB bandwagon as well.
Yeah. I think it's hard to go against it, to be honest.
Yeah. Eight-cylinder.
Eight-cylinder. I'll say spring car engines. So your 410 CC engines, they just scream. They're amazing engines. Your NAV8, like 10,000 RPM, just so good.
Yep. Absolutely. Looking at Patrick Barley.
I'm pretty sure he's the 410. So yeah, his cars are pretty good. But yeah, I think even Aaron Duar, I'm not too sure what he's got in his, but his engine's pretty.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds unreal.
Yeah, I know he builds his own engines, but I'm not too sure what they are.
10 cylinder? What do you got in the way of that? This is where I start to sort of lose out. The 10s and 12s I'm not great with.
I'm pretty sure I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure the LFA is either 8 or 10 cylinder. The Lexus LFA.
I'm going to look that up real quick. I think that
it's a
V10. It's a
V10? I definitely think the LFA has to be in the conversation for one of the craziest selling cars of all time.
Yep. And 12, what do you got for 12-cylinder?
12-cylinder, there's a bunch of cars in this category. Obviously, you've got your Lamborghinis and all that. I think, what would be the craziest sounding one? I think, it's a tough decision because there is so many crazy cars nowadays with the 12-cylinder engine. You probably just have to say a Lamborghini Aventador or something like that.
Yeah.
Something
along or a Huracan or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go old school with it. Either the Countach or the Miura was also a V12. But that's sort of A70s now. So that's going right back.
Yeah.
I'd have to go and do my homework as far as that goes because I'm pretty sure they're 12s, but I'm not sure.
Actually, I want to quickly take it back to the V8 engine, the Judd V8 engine, which is pretty much the F1 V8 engine.
Yeah.
That sounded wild as well.
Yeah.
So quickly chuck a quick mention for that as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. Where are we at? We're up to Brendan Carroll. Skateboarding or BMX?
Oh, I'd say BMX. I was a scooter kid when I was younger, but I've always liked riding bikes and just cycles in general, so I'll definitely say BMX.
Nice. Brendan Carroll would approve.
Glad to hear it.
Coming from Aaron Burns, who inspired you to get into drifting?
Oh, that's a tough question because I think when it came to RC drifting, I never really knew about real-life drifting. It's still a pretty new thing. This was almost 6-7 years ago now. So actually more than that. It's probably 8-9 years ago now. So drifting was still a relatively new sport. It still didn't blow up as much as it has today. So I think back then, it had probably been... I know my first ever replica body on an RC car was James Dean Waterhouse car.
Yep.
So I'd have to probably say James.
Awesome. That's really cool. Coming from Brendan Totherow, if you could build any car combo, what would it be? So car, engines, like anything, essentially.
Ooh. I'm presuming this is for drifting, right? So
well, you can make it what you want. If it's for drifting, what would it be?
This is something that I've been so back and forth on so many different chassis combos and cars. I think in Australia it's hard to go against a V8. Like in my ideal combo, if I was to dream about getting a car right now, it'd be a spring car engined GR86. So I think that's probably my dream chassis combination to go with.
Yep. The GT86 kind of proved itself really well. I'm assuming the GR is only improving on that.
Like from me watching a couple of people in Europe and speaking to some of these people that actually have them, they seem to be very, very good. So I'm looking forward to potentially, if we can ever get my hands on one, building one.
Yep, awesome. Your turn, mate. Give us a question for future guests.
Ooh, I think I always love getting this question. Like, what is your inspiration when it comes to your passion? So basically, what inspired you to get into whatever you love doing? I always love in hearing people's interests because they always put so much passion and time into it. So I always enjoy listening to that.
I like that question, man, because it's very open-ended. It doesn't have to be about drifting. It can be whatever whoever I'm talking to is about, which is really cool.
Yeah, I wanted to give it to the broader audience too. And like, that even goes to whoever's listening. List your passions below.
Yep. I like that, man. I like that. We'll start to wrap up, mate. Is there anyone you'd like to thank and acknowledge?
There's quite a few people. Of course, I'd love to thank my dad. He's the person that's been with me from the beginning since my life started, pretty much. So he's been my right-hand man the whole entire way. So, of course, I'd love to thank him. I'd love to thank everybody that supported me, all my sponsors that are helping me get through this journey this year. It's definitely going to be a crazy year. I'm looking forward to it, but I couldn't have done it without them. Salen, BYE, Contech, Racecraft, everybody that's jumped on and helped out. I'd love to thank my family, my friends, the supporters, everybody from WA. I'd love to give a massive shout out to WA. We're pretty underknown. We're not very out there, but I'm trying to pave a way for all of us Perth guys and girls, to try and get out there and just be known more. Just show what we're capable of, and which is not a barren state. we can really show our skill and put ourselves out there more. So yeah, I'd love to give a shout out to all them people. And wicked, everybody, man. Listening, thank you for tuning in.
Wicked, man. That's cool. What have you got going on for the rest of the year, I guess?
Yeah, so obviously, as I said before, we've got round 3 coming up of the South Australian Drift Series. Then 2 weeks later, we've got Wartime Attack. And then later on in the year, I'm pretty sure it's October, I think. So I think it's October or something like that. We've got round 4 and 5, which is a double header for the Drifting SA Series.
Awesome.
And hopefully, we are going to bring quite a few cars from Perth to come along with me.
That'll be awesome, man.
So I'm hoping to turn it into a little state versus state comp. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, nice. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's the plans for the rest of the year. Hopefully we can do a little more practice events in Perth, support the Perth community a little more. We just did our first event the other weekend, so I'm hoping to do more in Perth. And yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Let everybody know where they can find you, mate.
Yes, I'm on Instagram, LukeV541. I've got Facebook. My name, or LukeV, is my drift. I'm on YouTube. I'm going to try and start uploading more, just LukeV is more on YouTube. And yeah, pretty much you can find me all through there. If you guys got any questions or anything, feel free to send a message and I'll respond to it the best of my ability.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Good luck. Best of luck for round 3, and I look forward to meeting you at World Time Attack, dude.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it. It's going to be a very fun event, and I'm looking forward to meeting everybody there, especially you.
Awesome. Legend, mate.
Sweet as. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to have you tune in again next week. Don't forget to head over and follow Gutter to Gutter on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok by searching for Gutter to Gutter Podcast. You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Gutter to Gutter Podcast, and be sure to check out the new website at guttertogutterpodcast.com. I'd really appreciate it if you could share the podcast with a friend and even consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. I look forward to bringing you more next week, so please have a great week and look after each other.